Thanks so much for joining us today for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. Last time we were together, Mark Matori was sharing how that he grew up in a Christian home. In fact, his mom and dad were involved in full-time missions, traveled all over the country as a child, and just kind of thought, well, I guess maybe I'm going to become a pastor. But God never called you, Mark, to be a pastor. But God sure put some artistic desires and drives into your heart. And you had the privilege then of, yes, getting a major in youth ministries in college, but a minor in art. And you shared with us last time the story of Moses when he had the staff in his hand, and God said, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "Well, it's a staff." It's basically something that he'd been using for the last 40 years, shepherding the sheep. And the neat thing is the fact that God then said, "Throw it down." Mm-hmm. And it's almost, Mark, like God wants to, first of all, see if the staff is something that we're going to hold on to for ourselves or if we're willing to submit it to God. And once we throw it down, then the miracle takes place and God begins to show us what that special gift can be when it's submitted to the Lord. And once we see it and once we present it to the Lord, then he says, take it up again.
Yes.
And then he says, okay, now I'm going to use that. And basically what I'm hearing you say is that God has given you this gift. He's given you this drive. It's in your mind. It was constantly being developed. But the folks that are listening to us in our broadcast this morning, it may not be art in their mind. It might be music. It might be athletics. It might be some kind of an academic ability. It might be ability to work with their hands. It kind of reminds me of if God had said to David, "What is that in your hand?" And David would have said, "Well, it's a harp."
Mm-hmm. Or a sling.
Or a sling.
Yes.
And both of these things were in his hand, and we're able to see how God took those two things that David practiced because of his joy and later said, "Now I'm going to use the harp in Saul's palace. I'm going to use the sling against Goliath." But first of all, it had to be given to God.
Yes.
And that's what you were describing to us last time.
Yes. And just like last time, as I was discussing how every single piece, as I sit down to make on a potter's wheel, every single piece has a specific purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I already in my mind see the finished product before I even ever start. God has designed each and every one of us with a specific purpose already in mind. And I just love the passage, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do." That is all inclusive. And it's exciting to me that God has given us all different passions. God has given us all different desires, but we must be willing to turn them back over and give them back to him.
Right.
And how often does he bless us and allow us to do them for his glory?
Exactly. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And that is in essence what the Lord did in your life and is still doing in your life. He will perform it. He is, in fact, opening up ministry opportunities for you to take your equipment and speak in Bible schools.
Yes.
And I think you were saying the other day that you spoke to our college Crossroads division.
Yes. Yes, I've had many opportunities to go into churches and schools to actually present a little devotional using the pottery.
Right.
And it is always so encouraging to me, even the one doing it, just the parallels and the truths that this art form, one of the oldest art forms, has, the parallels it has with the Christian life.
Right.
And we're continually growing. God is continuing to mold us, to shape us. And one of the most important steps of ceramics, of working with clay, is the firing process.
Mm.
A piece is not a vessel until it has been fired. And the firing, you know, can be parallel to the fiery trials of life.
Yes.
When I put, you know, a piece of clay into a kiln, it fires up to about 2,000 degrees, and it is glowing orange. I actually just did a firing this morning, and the entire inside of this kiln is glowing orange.
Mm.
Everything in it. And it must be extremely uncomfortable for the pots.
If the pot had a voice,
it would be screaming.
Yes, yes.
But without the hardening
yeah.
that the firing brings, it would not be useful. And in our lives, in the Christian life, so often God puts trials and temptations into our lives to strengthen us so that we can be used. I look back over my life and it's amazing the growth that I've seen in my life. And it is not growth that has all come through dancing through fields and happiness.
Yeah, right.
It is growth that has come through trials. And God chooses to put us in these trials that he knows we can handle, but that will strengthen us. And then when we come out the other end, we can actually be used for his glory because we can point backwards at where we've been and say, praise God, look what he has done in my life.
Right. You know, Mark, I served as the last president of Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. I was there one semester, and then we had to shut it down because of lack of finances and lack of students. And prior to my even being called to become their president, during my walks and prayer time with the Lord began to give me little thoughts and little sayings, things like that. And so Ruth gave me a little blue book with a little pencil that hung on it and a little chain, and I'd just kind of hang it on my belt. And when the Lord would give me a thought, I'd just jot it down, keep walking. So when we then started that first semester, I had a saying for every week. And that saying was all over the campus, you know, and we focused on it during chapel and just kind of focused our attention on that saying. The last week of the college, the saying that was chosen long before I even became president was a saying that somebody else had said, and I just came across it and I just wrote it down, and it was this: when God pulls me out of the oven, I want him to be able to say, well done. And these students felt like they were going through the oven of the hardest times of their lives. Some of them were first semester freshmen, and all of a sudden their college is done. Some were seniors and just had one semester left to go with maybe student teaching or their senior recital, and now all of a sudden they're going to be somewhere else. And God was putting each one of them in an oven. And I shared with them that week, I said, you may scream that the temperature is too high or the time in the oven is too long, but when God pulls you out, he needs to be able to say, well done.
And I'm very thankful that this is where the analogy of pottery breaks down. Because once you pull the piece out of the kiln, it is finished. It is done.
Yes.
But as I mentioned last time, I'm so thankful that God is never through with us.
Amen.
There are times we, as the clay, fight his hands. We limit our usefulness because of our unwillingness to be used by him. And I'm so thankful that God continues to work with us. He's never finished. There's never a waterline of sanctification that we reach and we're there.
Right.
We've made it. Instead, God is continuing to work with us, to build us up, to shape us so that we can be the most effective tool, vessel that he can use.
Right. Reminds me of Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, kind of like your thumbs down in that vessel. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's the next verse. And sometimes, you know, when God is working in us for his good pleasure, we murmur, don't we?
Yes.
And we kind of complain and we say, now, Lord, this is not what I had in mind. And God says, now, wait a minute. I'm the one who's working in you. And my precious friend, you're listening to us this morning, and it could be that you are so identifying with what Mark has been sharing that, man, you're in the kiln and you are going through the heat and you're screaming for God to change something. And it could be that God is waiting for you to say, Lord, instead of changing something, would you change me? Would you change me? Because it's when you say, Lord, would you change me, that God can begin to say, now we're coming to it.
And as the potter, our God has the right to choose what we end up as.
Exactly.
And he will continue to work in all of us.
It kind of gets back to that wheel that you were saying. You put that piece of clay in the center of the wheel, and the wheel can go around slowly or fast. Or
yes.
Who determines the speed of that wheel?
Only me. Only the potter.
Only the potter.
The clay has no say, obviously.
Yes.
In anything that happens to it. So the decisions of what it looks like, as I was saying earlier,
yeah,
the decision of what it's going to look like in the end is all up to me as the potter. Even sitting working on the piece, once it is made, once the piece has been pulled up properly,
right,
there is only one person that can truly know what's inside of the vessel. And everybody that walks by and looks at this piece can have an opinion about it.
Right.
But there is only one that can look down into the heart of the piece and really truly know what is inside. And as the creator, as our creator, God is the only one who can truly know what is inside of us and can truly cleanse us from the inside out. And there's only one way for bystanders to even know what's going on inside that pot. Inside that vessel is for that bystander to come and draw close to the potter. And for us to see inside others, we must draw close, must draw nigh to God, to see the heart of others and to be able to help and work with them.
Right. So, Mark, if we are the clay, that means that we need to get really close to the Lord to find out what God's plan for us is.
Yes. Whether, therefore, we eat or drink or whatever we do.
Do all to the glory of Mark. Oh, the glory of God, not Mark, not Greg.
No.
It's do all to the glory of God. And my friend, for you to understand why you are going through what you are, you need to get close to the heart of God and listen very carefully for the voice of God through his word, so that he can begin to share with you why he has made you into the vessel that he has. Oh, you're so totally different from other vessels around you that may be effectively used by God, but God wants to use you differently. Don't try to compete or compare. Just simply try to become competent in his hand to accomplish his plan. Till the next time, may the Lord bless each one of you in his wonderful way.